You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, Waste Connections of Tennessee, and Volunteer Vodka.
All right, Coach, so right when we went off the air, Tennessee said, hey, we're bringing back Bryce Thompson. It says he's been cleared. They feel comfortable with what's happened so far. They said, we like the plan we have in place as a university. It's time to bring him back.
That's what they said.
Your thoughts on that are what?
Well, I don't think that they would have been able to bring him back if they weren't very confident that it was time to bring him back. In terms of if there was something really serious, if they thought there was a threat, something to be taken very seriously, they wouldn't have brought him back. I don't think the football desperation would have even allowed that after all the Title IX stuff that went on here and all that. Because, you know, it wasn't just up to Jeremy Pruitt.
Right.
So it tells me that he's clear. He's in the clear. The other incident is what made people kind of start freaking out. And that was really the biggest warning sign. But it was in the past. They had recruited him, assumingly knowing about that already.
Right.
So that really didn't apply to the situation, I don't think.
Jeremy Pruitt's official statement was, as university processes have progressed relating to Bryce Thompson, we've all taken the situation very seriously. I believe Bryce can grow by following the plan the university has put in place for him. As a result, I am allowing him to return to practice. Now, we don't know. I haven't seen anything about playing status for Saturday against Chattanooga. I would imagine he's not playing against Chattanooga, although I haven't seen anything definitively.
Why do you assume he's not, that he won't play?
I would imagine that you don't put a guy into practice for 3 days and then throw him in a game. I'd imagine there's more to conditioning and things like that would have to be clear first. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they throw him out there. Because if you are returned to practice, that means you're back with the team. So maybe there is no reason to hold him out.
Well, and I would hope that he stayed in shape, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope. But, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, you can stay on the shape by, like, running on the treadmill and doing drills. But if you're not allowed on the football field, it'd probably be hard to do certain types of drills. And even then, like, game speed and game intensity is different than practice, right?
Yes, but I kind of think it would be a good idea to work him in against a team like Chattanooga,
sure,
as opposed to throwing him out in the swamp.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he is playing.
I mean, I kind of hope he does play, just because you can work through those kinks against Chattanooga. Maybe, you know, I mean, hopefully.
And we talked about how your secondary hasn't been good so far this year. I mean, I think that's important, too. Like, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in this court case. I mean, he's scheduled to go to court, I believe, on the 23rd, which is 2 days after Florida, which is, you know, 12 days prior to him getting reinstated. However, on the other hand, the university is allowing Bryce Thompson to go to class, right? Like, he's still been going to class. He's still been around students, so I think at the very least you could say they've, you know, have deemed that his threats of, quote, shooting up the school aren't serious.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you don't let that guy go to class. You'd get him off campus if you think that's actually something that even could possibly happen 1%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they let him immediately back in school. He didn't miss any school time, did he? I mean, from what I remember.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. He was reportedly back in class on that Monday, right?
Yeah, because that thing happened over the weekend. And then the new week started. He was back in class, according to all accounts. Students on the ground, that's what they were saying. So, I mean, that obviously wasn't a big part of this. Now, they probably had to sit down with him and talk about it. Like, hey, you didn't really mean that, right? You have any guns? You know.
Yeah.
They had to ask about it, I'm sure. But that probably wasn't a big part of this in the grand scheme. It was probably more about the alleged threat against the two women.
Well, the initial response was that was going to be the biggest part, right? Like, hey, you're threatening to shoot up the school. Like, we got to take that to the nth degree. Like, that's as serious as you could be. That's the equivalent of saying bomb on an airplane. You can't say bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Great scene.
Yeah, it really was.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
They took him off.
They took him off the airplane. They did not take Bryce Thompson out of school. They just took him off the practice field for a bit. You think Tennessee does this if Tennessee's 2-0?
Yeah, I think they'd still want him back.
Yeah. I mean, he's still running back by Florida, right? But you have more leeway. Like, if the secondary had been playing well, I wonder if that changes things. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know if it does or not. Only Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer and whoever else is making that decision at Tennessee knows the answer. But if Alante Taylor picked up where he left off and Warren Burrell was still balling, instead of both those guys grading out pretty poorly against BYU, I wonder if it would change if Tennessee was 2-0. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't.
A fake eyelash cost us the BYU game. It's hard to say it cost us the Georgia State game, though, because we just kind of got ran over in that second half.
Yeah. I mean, him being on the field would be better than – I mean, Burrell did get beat for a touchdown in the first half that allowed them to tie that game up. So, I mean, I don't think they're beating Bryce Thompson on that simple little skinny post that they won on. Like, I mean,
you wouldn't think so.
He was really good last year. I don't think they're scoring on him there. Maybe they would, though.
Altogether, though, we could at least say 1-1. That guy's worth one of these wins.
On the other hand, we knew before the season, right? I mean, the talk was always like, is he going to be back for Florida? Is he going to be back for Florida? And people were like, yeah, he'll be back for Florida. So maybe, like I said, this isn't anything result-driven. Maybe this is just the guys had a punishment. Now, you could argue about whether or not the punishment's good enough, and I do think that's where some people are differentiating. But you have to say at least he got punished, right? Two games, embarrassment.
He got punished for something that hasn't even been proven that he did. So,
We knew he hit the gate. We knew he damaged property. There was something that happened. Like, I mean, whether or not he actually threatened to shoot up the school or whether or not he actually did something, you know, 2 years ago to that girl in South Carolina, those are different stories. But, I mean, we knew something happened.
We knew there was a situation.
He got arrested. He's been punished for being arrested.
Yeah.
And for damaging school property, which you could scoff at if you want. But, I mean, there was something there.
I still think two games is... I mean, that's appropriate, isn't it?
Appropriate for what?
For whatever it is. I mean, because you can't say he's punished two games for the threat, because nobody even really – he wasn't convicted of a crime. Nobody even knows that the threat happened.
Well, he hasn't been proven innocent of a crime either.
Well, yeah, but you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, I know, but you
that's the whole thing.
Said he'd been proven innocent. He's not been proven anything yet. I mean, there hasn't – I don't know what – I thought you did, but if not, either way, like, that hasn't played out in court. The charges are still pending. Like, he goes to court on the 23rd.
Yeah. I mean, I just think for what it is, though, I mean, basically he's being punished for the just for the arrest, right? Property damage. That's all they can really punish him for at this point, the way I see it.
And I think everyone would agree that two games is plenty for that.
Right. I mean, I don't think that an accusation can be made and then all of a sudden this guy misses the whole year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ruins his livelihood.
I mean, Tennessee agrees with you. Jeremy Pruitt agrees with you.
I mean, we remember...
I don't disagree with
you. Remember A.J. Johnson? I mean, that's a comparable situation. It ruined his hope for the NFL. And then he was, he got off.
Yeah.
Now, Bryce Thompson's just a sophomore, but...
Those accusations were much more serious for A.J. Mm-hmm. Johnson, too.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Like, that one actually went to, court and carried a much stiffer penalty than...
Still ended up ruining his career.
A verbal threat.
Yeah. It's a fine line, right? I mean, you got to take the stuff seriously. I understand that, but... When it's not actually what the accusation was, I mean.
But we don't know if it was.
It ruins the future.
Right, but we don't. But that's the point is we don't
know. Yeah, we don't know. That's yeah. But that's why I'm saying you can't just suspend him for more games. I mean, to me, I don't see why you would do that, you know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you got these guys at the Sentinel. They're like, 2 games, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and then those guys reply about, oh, well, we get a lot of page clicks on our articles when we write stuff like this. And we're like, okay, well,
trash.
Is that the point of what you're trying to accomplish? If so, cool, I guess. Those are the same type of guys who talk about real journalism and stuff like that and then come out and talk about their page views. And that's kind of hypocritical. But, I mean, you keep, I guess, bringing up, I guess, what people would say is kind of the point, though, which is you keep saying that, you know, that, well, we don't know if these accusations are true or it turns out the accusations weren't true. Like, we don't know, and we haven't had a court date yet, which I think makes the timing a little weird for some people. Like, it's still like a pending, ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the timing is weird, because I think if, like, you know, if Bryce Thompson goes to court on the 23rd and whatever, you probably cop a plea deal to do something. Like, hey, I'll do community service and anger management. At that point, like, I think everyone would be like, okay, cool, bring him back on the team. But until we see that, I think that's just got some people raising eyebrows. I'm happy he's back on the football field for selfish reasons of wanting the football team to be good.
Oh, yeah, same.
And I just think that if the university is allowing him to continue to be a student, that something, I guess, egregious hasn't been found, right? Like, the threat of danger must not be there if the University of Tennessee has allowed him to still be on campus going to class.
Should you not be able to live the life that you were living before the accusations if you're deemed not a risk by, say, the police, right? Because it's not like they're detaining him. The police don't see him as a danger. He's not in jail.
Yeah, I mean, once you bail out, you should kind of be able to
live the life you were living. I mean,
as you await trial. You are right about that in, like, a legal sense. Now, you get into, like, privileges versus rights in this argument. Like, he's eligible to walk around free and make money or go to class or do whatever, but
we always
hear playing football is a privilege. So, like, that would just kind of be a different conversation,
well,
I guess.
Well, going to college is a privilege.
Yeah. No, I mean, too. It is. So you are right about that. It is.
And if they're letting him go to class, you know, it makes sense that he should be able to go to practice.
Yeah. I mean, they always tell us that the free college is payment for the work. So the university is probably like, hey, we're not paying you to do nothing. Go out there and play football.
Yeah. That's what the scholarship's for.
That's what the scholarship's for. We're not paying you to sit around. We're not paying you to play school. We're paying you to go in there and win some football games. And we're 0-2. And our secondary hasn't looked good.
No, it hasn't.
Did this pick up any national headlines?
It's not on the front page of ESPN.
What about on the front page of their college football page?
I bet it might be there. Let me take a look.
Because I didn't see any articles really written about this. I saw I saw the News Sentinel doing their thing. But so it is on the front page of ESPN's college football section?
It's the first headline.
Is it?
Cornerback Thompson reinstated by volunteers.
Okay. So it's made a little bit of a dent nationally.
It's nice that we're still relevant nationally. Kind of surprising.
It's hard to be fair, it's hard to crack the top headlines on ESPN's front page now. Like, if this was like in August maybe, but right now, you know, we got the Jets quarterback Sam Darnold's got mono. Apparently he's just been out partying and making out with too many women.
Yeah, that's what I always heard mono comes from, making out.
It was always cool, the kids that got mono, like, in junior high. Like, oh, what have you guys been doing?
I remember, That was always a thing.
Luis Severino's back, so, I mean, the Yankees might be getting an ace. The U.S., Cody, they played again this morning, and Serbia beat their ass.
Really?
We went from a 58-game winning streak to a 2-game losing streak.
That's just pathetic.
We got a horse that failed a drug test before the Triple Crown.
Oh, no. What was he on?
I don't know.
It's usually coke with these horses.
The Browns are banning a fan that wasn't even at the game. They're saying, hey, you're banned for life. He's like, hey, I haven't been to a game in a decade. What are you talking about? I think they got the right, you know, they thought they had the guy who threw a beer on Logan Ryan. Turns out that guy wasn't in. And then Antonio Brown wearing number 1 practices.
And that was headlines.
Sorry.
I'll give more depth on a couple of them.
Yeah, sorry. So I guess it's hard for Bryce Thompson to crack the very front page of ESPN. So it did make a little bit of noise nationally. I haven't seen too much criticism, though. So, it's not, maybe that's a good test, right? I mean, because it feels like people look for any reason to pile on Tennessee, or at least, call into question the hypocrisy of Tennessee. And as long as we haven't seen too many articles floating around, maybe this is just normal, standard operating procedure.
I mean, if you just want to talk Tennessee, we're actually in a very positive light right now nationally.
That's right.
We have apparently offered the Bullied Kid a scholarship now, a full ride to UT, which I don't want to be that guy, but I'm kind of at the end of this whole thing. Good for him, how much more are we going to do? You know what I mean? Just saying. I don't want to be that guy. I'll be that guy. A lot of us got bullied in school, We didn't get full rides. I grew up in Arkansas as a Tennessee fan. I got a lot of fun, made fun of a lot. I never got a full ride. I had to pay out-of-state tuition. Good for him. I'm glad it's, when are we going to cut this off,
Stay with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
We'll play some buy or sell of Travis McKinney of the McKinney team coming up next segment. What are the biggest college football storylines heading into the weekend, Cody? For me, another one we are not having another Thursday night game. They're punting on the Thursday night football again, which I understand, but at the same time, I'm kind of we're used to watching college football. What are you doing? But when I saw some of the numbers that came out with the NFL ratings, we didn't really get into this yesterday. The NFL's ratings just dominated everybody.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Which they always do. They had 109 million viewers. And NFL games were the top six programs. The top six. Of course, you had your Giants Cowboys in the Sunday night or the Sunday afternoon window. Almost 24 million viewers. Green Bay at Chicago opening night, 22.2 million, tied with Pittsburgh at New England, which was your Sunday night game at 22.2 million. The top non-NFL programming of the week was 9.1 million. I wonder if that was LSU and Texas, because I know they did around that number.
It had to be. That I know that's the highest rated game of the season so far in college.
I want to say that number came in around 9 million as well, so that would make sense.
Yeah, well, that's still a pretty vast difference. Obviously the NFL ratings are good. There's nothing really anyone would rather watch. We love our football.
LSU Texas came in at 8.6 million people. So no, it wouldn't even be that. Why is it so much bigger?
The NFL?
Yeah, why is the NFL three times as big as college football?
Well, the only thing I can think of is, you have your major cities. You know what I mean? All of your cities have teams, whereas college football is more of a, I don't want to say it's a rural kind of sport.
But New York City doesn't have a great team. Los Angeles doesn't have great teams right now.
Right.
Philadelphia doesn't have anybody, right? I guess, what do they have? Temple and.
Yeah, like
maybe Penn State gets a little residuals there.
I mean, who's in Dallas? Like SMU or okay. You know, I mean, what I mean though is like college football is it's the passion is in places typically that don't have pro teams.
Yeah.
The South, the Midwest. I mean, your SEC, your Big Ten schools, that's how I look at it anyway.
That might be the answer. I don't know. It makes sense to me, though. Like, your big cities don't have teams.
I mean, a place like Nebraska, they love college football there. You know what I mean? There's not a pro team within 500 miles. I mean, it's Knoxville, guess Kansas City.
Knoxville's similar. I mean, the Titans obviously are in Nashville now, but they didn't get here till 1996, 97. So, would that have been different? Say if, like, you know, the Titans have been in Nashville for 40 years, would the Vols have as big of a footprint in Knoxville and the surrounding areas as they do?
I guess it'd be a lot like Georgia, wouldn't it? But the thing is, like, it's still just one big city. And, like, in the South, there's not that many big cities.
Right.
There's Atlanta. There's Nashville. New Orleans, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, of course, if you go down to Florida, there's a couple big cities there, but Florida's kind of its own animal. Other than that, I mean, there's just, you don't have big metropolitan areas so much. I mean, because like the big cities in Alabama and Mississippi, like, you know, Jackson, Birmingham, I mean, those aren't major cities.
But still, like, I mean, these TV numbers aren't just all coming from the cities. They're coming nationally. And it's just crazy to me that, again, like, your most watched TV shows of the weekend, all NFL. You get down to college, and, you know, the most watched Sunday night game, or the most watched, I guess, the most watched game of the weekend, the Cowboys draws in almost 24 million viewers, and the most watched college game draws in 8.6 million.
I don't know if there's just a straight answer for.
You only have
what the difference is.
You only have four all day drawing more than 5 million viewers. Or drawing more than 4 million viewers, excuse me.
College football?
Yeah. Like, you could add the top four games up, and you're not getting even to the most watched NFL game.
Well, I think you also got to take into account probably the dominance with Clemson and Alabama.
You think so?
I think a lot of people are getting tired of that, yeah.
Clemson still was the second most watched game, them versus Texas A&M. Notre Dame is still there at number three. They're on a Monday night in primetime, but one national brand, I guess, holding it down. That's crazy to me.
That the NFL's three times bigger?
Yeah.
It is. That does seem like a lot.
I mean, like I said, you could add up the five most watched games and just come into the most watched NFL game. And that they have, you know, three games that way. Like, you know, they had three games getting over 22 million viewers.
I'd say.
I thought everyone was done with the NFL. I remember. I thought everyone had retired from the NFL. I thought everyone had stopped that.
That's over and done with.
Had boycotted and was finished and would never watch another game. It turns out 23 million people are watching one game. Almost 24 million.
Well, I would venture to say there's probably still a lot of people in the South that feel that way. But I just. Another thing you got to take into account, I feel like. I mean, I think fantasy football probably plays a big factor, doesn't it?
Man, that much though?
Not that much, but that coupled with the other things, like there's probably multiple reasons. That's what I'm saying.
The fantasy football one's always something to think about, but like, I mean, people play college fantasy, but not near as many people. They do have the option, but obviously, like I said, not near as many people.
I feel like we shouldn't underestimate it. I mean, I think it's a pretty significant thing.
It is, and it drives interest, and it keeps you thinking about it all week, right? I mean, I've got 7 fantasy teams I'm trying to manage, 8 fantasy teams I'm trying to manage. Like, in my spare time, I found myself going to ESPN or Yahoo and going through my fantasy teams and double-checking the waiver wire and looking through rosters for trades. Like, it's keeping me invested. Now, is it making me watch more on Sunday? Maybe. Yeah. Probably.
8 fantasy teams. You're like a conference commissioner. You're like Mike Slive out here.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I would imagine.
Well, wait. I'm sure by week 5 or 6, some teams will just show that like they're not very good. That's the bad feeling is when you like look at your fantasy team and you're like, oh, man, I got no shot in this league.
Well, also, the good thing about having that many teams is you're bound to be competitive in a couple of them.
In a couple. Usually, I'm not going to lie. I mean, usually, not to brag, I usually manage four or five teams, and I got like a 60, 70, 80% playoff percentage of like getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, there you go.
I usually draft a team good enough to get to the playoffs, and then I lose in the playoffs. That's usually how I get down.
If you can get to the playoffs, you've got a shot.
I am Georgia or Michigan State. I am the random Pac-12 Big Ten school, not named Ohio State. But when I look and I ask you what the biggest storylines of college football are this weekend, do you have any? Because I don't.
Well,
and that has something to do with it, too. Like, I mean, Antonio Brown's gotten more covers than any college football storyline all year, right? Just by himself?
Yes. Yes, he has.
The Antonio Brown saga is pretty much the only thing that's been talked about.
I mean, USC plays at BYU.
That's not doing anything for anybody. Like, if I'm looking for the biggest storyline of the weekend, like, we kind of talked about Stanford and UCF. Like, I wish Stanford was in the top 20. It's like that game would feel bigger, and you could maybe try to convince yourself it was a measuring stick game, but whatever. Outside of that, man, I look and I say, maybe the story of the college football weekend, Cody, is that this is Clemson's last shot of losing prior to the playoff.
They got to go to the Carrier Dome. But the fact that Clemson at Syracuse is an ABC primetime game, and really, I mean, we say it's their last shot of losing, but if we're being honest, what do we expect to happen? Do we expect Clemson to win by 20 points?
Well, I mean, the spread is 28.
Well, there you go.
And Syracuse just got the hell beat out of them by...
By Maryland. Yeah.
Which, by the
63
way,
points hung on them.
Turns out year one coach Locksley up there is going to get done in year one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you look at Clemson-Syracuse as, you know, like you said, a primetime game, and maybe their last real chance of losing. Maybe you could convince me into some magic at the end of September if North Carolina keeps winning. Maybe Sam Howell's got something for them at UNC. I doubt it, though. Like, yeah. I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, and then your other primetime game on Fox, see, that's your ABC game. Your Fox game is Oklahoma at UCLA, and you know damn well UCLA's not going to be able to compete in that game.
Yeah.
So,
like, there's very rarely where you can actually get big games that feel like big games because all these programs are just so far and away better than everybody.
Yeah, like unless
Texas LSU last week was fun.
Yeah.
That's like an anomaly. That doesn't happen much in
college
football.
Like, if we had Oklahoma playing at Clemson, that'd be great.
That'd be fantastic.
Know? Yeah. Or give us Ohio State against Alabama, something like that, you know? And see, we get that in the NFL, not every week, but
everyone is a top 32 team in the NFL. That's what I always tell people.
Well, yeah, you don't have as lopsided of games. I mean, you know, because everybody knows Clemson's going to go into Syracuse and they're going to win by 28 points, just like the spread says, probably, likely.
For the most part, you know you're getting a really good game on Sunday Night Football.
Every week.
This week it's Eagles at Falcons, which I think is going to be good, but whatever. Maybe that one doesn't do it for you. And you know that one game in the national 4 o'clock window is going to be really good. This week that is Saints versus Rams, which...
That's two really, really good games.
Or, let's see, when I tell you Saints versus Rams, that is two of the, what people think, two of the five best teams in the NFL.
Yes.
In the NFC rematch.
Yes.
And when I tell you Eagles versus Falcons, that's, you know, the last... Two of the last three Super Bowl representatives out of the NFC.
Yeah, and that could be a wild card game.
Potentially. I mean, the Eagles could win the division. The Eagles probably are the favorites in the division right now.
Falcons could, too. It's just, you know.
They're game behind, sure.
They didn't get off to a good start.
No, they didn't.
Either way, though, that seems like a playoff implication kind of game.
Yeah, man. Like, the college football, I think, is just devoid of storylines right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because they've had 3 or 4 weeks to establish something. You know what I mean? Like, so far, like, in the whole college football season, the only storylines I've really paid attention to is Jalen Hurts. And, like, you know, is he going to make it three straight for Oklahoma? Like, his revenge tour, if you will.
Florida plays at Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky beat them last year.
Yeah.
Know? There's just not – I mean, another storyline, I think, is to see how good LSU is this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you see what LSU's problem is this week? They've got tickets as low as $7 because they're hosting Northwestern State. That's another thing in college football. These games, like, against these FCS schools and these really, really low FBS teams, nobody wants to see that.
They're pointless.
It's a waste of time. I mean, it's just a waste, you know.
And I'm sure that LSU game is at night, right? 6:30, I think, is what you said?
Yep, that's a night game.
So that takes up your whole day. takes up your whole night. Like, your whole Saturday is committed to that. Like I said, the noon games are a little underrated in that regard. Like, Tennessee, UTC, you don't really want to go. But some people have these streaks going where they're like, hey, I've been to 30 games in a row. Going to keep it rolling. They get to roll in at noon, punch their ticket, sit for a half, and leave and go on about their day.
Yeah, no thanks. It is weird, man. I mean, I used to love college football so much. And it's like the last 3 years. I really blame Tennessee for doing this to me.
I don't know if it's Tennessee, though, when we look around. It's a sport-wide problem.
It is. I mean, attendance is down everywhere, and, you know, ratings are down. But if we were good, we would care more about it, you know?
It feels like there is just a storyline problem, and maybe that's wrong, but it feels like the rich have never been richer. Again, maybe this is just prisoner of the moment type of thing, but it feels like the top four, top five programs are just far and away better than everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, no one else really has a shot.
It does feel that way.
Let's play some buy or sell of Travis McKinney of the McKinney team with Keller Williams coming up next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's play some buy or sell of Travis McKinney of the McKinney team, the title sponsors of Voluntary Reaction. Travis, we kind of talked about it last week. 0-2, man. 0-2.
Yeah, 0-2. Did not foresee that happening.
No.
At all. I thought we'd be 2-0 when, well, worst case, 1-1, but we're not. We're 0-2.
Shout out to you. You were in attendance for the BYU game. It was a good crowd. The crowd showed up, yeah, and did their job.
Crowd showed up. It was a pretty good environment in there. It wasn't super loud like some of the games, but it was.
It sounded loud on TV, so you said it wasn't super loud?
Not like some of the. I get, you know, when we play the SEC teams, it's just always a different, yeah, feel. But
maybe, no, my expectations were low. Like maybe I didn't know what to expect, and I was pleasantly surprised at the crowd noise. Maybe that's,
I tell you, there was a lot of BYU fans there, and they were loud towards the end there when they scored. They brought a bunch of people there, which, you know, they were loud.
How do you feel about the team right now? Did you come out of that game feeling encouraged, even more discouraged? It seems like the vibe has been a little bit more positive. I mean, you caught into Voluntary Action. You heard Voluntary Action presented by the McKinney team. And people were, you know, still upset, but it wasn't the same type of anger or venom from game one. It seemed like there was just mostly a deflection, a redirection from, hey, I'm mad at the coaching staff, to now I'm just kind of mad at the quarterback type
yeah,
thing.
A lot of people were mad at the quarterback. You know, I'm not as disappointed as I normally would after a Tennessee loss, but because it did, you could see great improvement from week one and week two. And if we can keep seeing that with these young guys, we will beat somebody we're not supposed to. I do feel like that. I really, if Jarrett, if he can have a good game this weekend to get his confidence going, he has to have that for us to be good. And this is the week he can do it. He needs to get out there and get back to where he's supposed to be, supposedly practices like.
I don't understand what's happened with him. Like, in terms of just a complete regression from a fourth-year quarterback. I mean, and look, it's part of it isn't fair. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, to be a fourth-year quarterback but have your fourth different offensive coordinator, like, that's tough. Mm-hmm. But everything that was said in the offseason, like you said, either practice-wise or from Garantano's mouth himself talking about how much Chaney's helped him and how much, like, the offense is going to be better, I've been shocked to come out and see him just not even be able to do something as simple as read a zone defense type of thing.
He's just not reading them right. He's just behind. I know everybody says he's a second or two behind on everything, and he is. It's disappointing. And however, we obviously don't have a better option, or they'd be in the game. These coaches aren't playing the senior priority people. These coaches are playing who's the best player. And I do believe that. I do think he just – maybe he's that close and he has a good breakout performance here, and then we get Florida at noon, which helps. Our fans won't be as bad at noon. Yeah. Maybe gives him some confidence going into that game. So then we go 2-2. Well, if we're 2-2 at that point, hopefully it turns things around.
So you've already counted that as a win. All right, let's go.
I've not counted that as a win, but bowl if eligibility. That is the case, then the tune gets a little different. And, you know, we've seen how bad the Kentuckys and Vanderbilts – I mean, it's really – you know, besides the teams in the West, I'm not
0-0 in the SEC. Travis, with a very good point there. We have not lost any SEC games yet.
Yep, 0-0. And we could, you know, go 3-3 in the SEC, or what? We'll play 8 games. We'd probably go 4-4.
You got to have 4.
I think
now.
Everyone locked that in right now. 6-6 if you went 4-4 in the SEC. I think everyone would be very happy about that.
You know, beat Florida, Mississippi State at home. Vandy, Georgia. I mean, Vandy, Kentucky.
Yeah, that's all you need.
South Carolina, give us five. Maybe it's five wins.
Beat UAB, we're back to 7-5. Liberty Bowl's on the table.
Hey, Travis always brings in some positivity, and I appreciate that. We sometimes need a little positive shot in the arm.
But, and the defense is a positive point. I mean, you know, BYU, 25% of their total yards were gained on that one play at the very end, which was the most important play of the game.
Wow.
And I don't know if y'all knew that, but I mean, we stopped them on third and short every time, which we didn't stop Georgia State on third and short. But we're going to have to start creating more turnovers. That's one thing the defense isn't doing. We're getting some three and outs and some good stops, but our offense has got to stay on the field. We've got to get more first downs.
It was just frustrating to, you know, have a secondary blunder whenever you have two of the best supposed secondary coaches in the country between Jerry Pruitt and Derek Ansley. Like, both those guys are supposed to be two elite defensive and, in particular, secondary minds. And to have something as simple as giving up an 80-yard pass whenever they have no timeouts left on and having to go 70 yards down the field type of thing, that's just really frustrating.
Yeah. Very frustrating, and they, you know, Pruitt even he admitted he should have called timeout. You don't like to call timeout on defense, but in a play like that, I mean, you just have to. And I think that's something he's going to learn as being a head coach. He's got to trust his offensive coordinator, trust his defensive coordinators, and then just he does the head coaching duties, which is time management, call the timeouts when you're supposed to. But he's such a coach; he's always on the sideline coaching those guys up. We never saw Butch do that kind of stuff. He was just pacing back and forth with his hands on his hips the whole game.
Travis McKinney of the McKinney team with Keller Williams sitting in with us. We're going to give away some tickets to the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Before we do that, go ahead and tell us who won the tickets to the Chattanooga game this weekend.
So Sarah won the tickets to Chattanooga. Gray, was the question was how many total yards Gray would have. It could have been receiving, even kick returning. He didn't do that. But he had 87 yards. She had 84. And this was her second win. She won the tickets last year, too, on the contest.
Pretty good at these.
She's good.
Nice. Pretty good at these.
Yeah. So then Georgia game we'll do for this weekend, total points scored by the Vols, and then put a couple spaces, and then we'll do a point differential for a tiebreaker. So what's the point differential, whether Tennessee wins or not? What's the difference in the points?
So, for example, if it is 27-5 or 27-7, let's use a regular football score number, you would add those up. You would put 34 total points. Couple spaces, a comma, dot, 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 and then add those, subtract those, and get the margin of 20.
Well, no, we're just doing total points by the Vols.
Oh, by the Vols. Okay.
Yeah, how many of the Vols are going to score this
weekend? Okay. So not the chat.
Then the point differential for, like, if it's 27-7, there's a 20-point differential.
Okay. Okay. Right. So you're not doing total points in the game. Okay.
Total points just for the Vols.
Gotcha. All right. Let's play a little quick edition of Buy or Sell, since you are the man that Talk Sports recommends talking to. If you are in the market to buy or sell a home, commercial land, buildings, you do it all.
Industrial, yeah. Do it all.
Buy or sell, Jarrett Garantano finishes the season as Tennessee's starting quarterback.
I'm buying this. We may see a backup come in Saturday if we do get a lead, but I don't think he showed enough yet to bench him, and I hope this, but I think he will get better.
Cody, you buy or sell on that?
I will sell that. Okay. I think at some point we're going to see a different human under center.
Wow. Yeah. Either through injury. I mean, injury could be thrown
injury,
in there,
yeah,
too. I mean.
Yeah. That's true. I think he's going to be here, though.
I'm worried that – or I not worried. I just believe that at a certain point, if this doesn't get better, you will see a youth movement and just see a clear changing of the guard where you're trying to really showcase freshmen and sophomores to – show the fans the future could be bright, to show recruits, like, hey, you get to play, and keep guys that are here somewhat happy.
Yep. I mean, I mean, we're going to definitely see another quarterback go in the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's not this weekend.
I thought we'd see one against Georgia State.
Yeah.
We did not see one for Georgia State. Then I hoped we'd see a different one at BYU for different reasons. I was like, hey, maybe time for a different quarterback in this one. So far, 0-2, and Jerry Pruitt reiterated last night, saying, hey, no, Garantano's our guy. We're working our game plan towards him, and he's going to execute it.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder if Chaney has lost his confidence in Jared. There was a time, I think, we ran 37 plays, and 31 of them were run plays.
Yeah, it was after Garantano's interception. Those numbers, I think it was 20. It was like 26 runs to like 8 passes or something like that.
It was that's not good.
And like the last one came in like 11 minutes into the fourth quarter. So
we were running really well, though. I mean, we did run the ball well, but still, Yeah, you got to throw the ball too. Yeah, so.
Yeah, buy or sell, Travis, a couple of primetime games this weekend. Mm-hmm. Either Syracuse or UCLA will stay within 21 points of Clemson or Oklahoma. So I'm giving you either one. Will either of those teams stay within 21 of the top teams in college football?
So right now Clemson's favored by like 28, and I believe Oklahoma's hanging around 23, 24 yeah, point favorites.
Something right
in
there.
It's a rout on both games.
You think so? You
know, UCLA is going to be the 0-3 spot now. And,
well, that's what we talked about yesterday. Yeah. Like year two we're coaches so far haven't been doing hot. Now. Pruitt, obviously, not doing well.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly stinking. Willie Taggart stinking. Mm-hmm. Kevin Sumlin stinking.
Yeah, Clemson still looks great to me. I think Texas A&M was a pretty good team, and they, you know, still dominated. I just can see that.
They have struggled with Syracuse, though, the last 2 years.
It's really weird.
Lost
they have.
2 years ago.
I do think that this could they could make a statement here, beat them by 7 touchdowns or something. I think they're going to kill them.
I could see it.
I think they're out.
It's ridiculous, though. Those are your two primetime games.
I know. That's it's really surprising this weekend's just a bad slate of games, really.
That's what we were talking about with college football. Like the storylines just aren't there, and the games aren't there. No. Like it's just we've had almost a month now, if you go back to Florida versus Miami, and just – only thing that you really pay attention to is, like, I mean, maybe Chip Kelly's 0-2, and no one's even really talking about that because we don't care about UCLA.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like, hey, Jalen Hurts, isn't he great at Oklahoma? Yeah. Wow. Lincoln Riley, fantastic.
I know. But the next weekend, week four has some pretty solid games.
Yeah, we'll get Georgia Notre Dame, and then I'll kind of start firing things up a little bit. We'll get into conference play.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Yep.
How about buy or sell Kentucky makes it 2 in a row against Florida? They got them at home this year. They beat them in the Swamp last year.
I'm selling. Kentucky losing their quarterback. I don't think Florida's very good, really, but I think Florida will win that game by at least a touchdown.
Buy or sell, Tennessee wins by over 24 points.
Sell. Yeah. Unfortunately.
17 points. Buy or sell, Tennessee wins by over 17 points.
You know, I think it's going to be one of these things where it's either we win by 10 to 14 or we actually do win by like 45 or
so
50.
So 10 to 14 it is.
Yeah, 10 to 14.
Yeah. Fantastic.
What is the spread?
We're going to have to stay to the fourth quarter and it's going to be 100 degrees.
I haven't seen this. I haven't seen a spread on it. Have you?
Heard 26, but I don't think it's that's kind of out there. Same thing as Georgia State, basically.
92% humidity. Everybody's just going to be sitting through it until the fourth quarter.
That'd be great. I'm gonna stay. Yeah, it's going
to
be brutal.
Travis will be in the building. You always go. Shout out to you. And
I'll be there.
Hopefully, the woman that won these tickets, hopefully she doesn't have a bad impression of the McKinney team after sitting in the heat for UTC. So
she's excited to come. She told me earlier she was excited. She's pumped. So
tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you or if they are in the market to buy or sell some real estate property.
Yeah, visit our website, McKinneyTeamMarketing.com, or visit us on Facebook, Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams. John can get you to us. Anybody here at Fox Sports Radio or on Twitter at the McKinney Team, Instagram, multiple ways to get us. You can also call us, 865-548-8267. We'll be happy to help you with any of your real estate needs. If you just have a question that you need a reference, we can help you out.
So the Georgia giveaway is going live here in a bit.
Yeah, we'll go to the Georgia giveaway. It'll be up by 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So on the Facebook page, so comment there or on the Twitter page.
We will get that shared and we will get that popping for you because I do think people will look forward to that game. I do think Georgia will be a game that people want to be in attendance for.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know that we get – it's going to really depend on these next two games. We have a bye week, so, you know, you get better, and then you have a bye week, and then people may get excited. I don't know. 2-2 with the bye week, if we look good, that Georgia game will be packed.
Yeah, I mean, if Tennessee beats Florida, if Tennessee beats Chattanooga, like
– I'll speak Chattanooga first.
Yeah, losing to Chattanooga would be a death blow, but if Tennessee is able to go down to Florida and somehow get a win, that would, you know – right a lot of the wrongs so far of this season.
We need to get in the win column.
We need to get in the win column this weekend, though. You're right. We can't overlook the mocks.
No.
Yeah.
We can't get mocked up this weekend. We have to make sure we get a win there. Yeah. Travis, appreciate you coming in. As always, appreciate your support on the station and for being the presenting sponsor of the Voluntary Reaction. Tune in immediately after the game. I'm taking this week off. Davey's going to hold it down, though, for the Voluntary Reaction going live right after the conclusion of hopefully a Tennessee win over UTC. McKinneyTeamMarketing.com. Travis, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
back on the program. Appreciate Travis McKinney of the McKinney team for hanging out, playing some buy or sell. Jules, how you feeling about this game on Saturday? I assume you're not going to go?
I actually am going to go.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of banking on the fact that I'll get seats in the shade.
Okay.
If I don't, then I may not be there for very long.
So what do you mean banking on the fact you're just going to, like, take your chances, go in with some tickets, and then
try? I mean, we've talked about how it might not be that crowded there.
Mm-hmm. So you're just going to illegally sit in other seats.
Well, you know, or hopefully my tickets, you know, that I find will be in the shade.
Oh, okay.
That'll be good.
Okay.
No, I don't have tickets right now, okay. But I'm trying to go.
Okay.
Trying to go with some friends. I'm kind of with Travis, though. I think that either we'll win by like a touchdown or two, or we'll blow them out. You never know what team you're going to see. So,
you know, I would say a win's a win, but man, Tennessee needs a good performance. They need a good performance on Saturday. Like the Garantano in particular,
really needs a good performance. He needs to go out there and make little to no mistakes, in my opinion.
And it can't. I mean, honestly, like it would go a long way if it was a crisp game, like you said, with little to no mistakes. And it was also like, hey, we're going to throw the ball down the field, and you're going to see some shots down the field to our good receivers, and I'm not going to be, by default, going to my checkdowns pretty much right away.
Right.
I'm going to actually play quarterback.
I'm going to see the field and not just decide on a target before I even look.
That's been so frustrating because I don't – It's all been really maddening because I want to say, like, last year the thing you knew or had confidence that Garantano wasn't going to do was turn the ball over, right? I mean, he had the Florida game, which was bad, but outside of that, limited turnovers. I mean, he only had two for the whole year.
Right.
And he should have thrown three or four against BYU. I mean, he should have thrown two or three against Georgia State. Like, it's not just, like, physical talent that has gone away. It's also just understanding defenses or making the right reads. It's just been really frustrating because we thought that Jim Chaney, that was going to be something that he really helped with.
Yeah, he's lucky we have Juwan Jennings who can go out there and grab anything that's remotely near him and make a play out of it.
That game against BYU could have been ugly.
Very ugly.
Like if Tennessee would have gotten stopped on that fourth down instead of it bouncing into Juwan Jennings' hands, not only would the crowd have turned restless on Pruitt for not taking the points, because we want coaches to be aggressive, right? We want coaches to go for those fourth downs. But then if they don't get them, we're going to be like, hey, man, you should have taken the points. Like, you know, even the last possession that Tennessee had of regulation where they go for the fourth down and they don't get it, you're thinking, well, or I guess it wasn't the last possession they had. It was the one prior to that when they could have taken the field goal and gone up by 6 points and they tried the end around to Jordan, Jordan Palmer. And you're like, hey, we appreciate the aggressiveness, but 6 points would have made them have to score a touchdown, and they only had like 120 yards of offense type of thing.
I was questioning that when it happened. I mean, I trusted that he knew what he was doing, but I thought to myself the same thing. It would have been nice to have those points.
But if you get the first down and you're able to burn an extra 2 or 3 minutes of the clock or maybe score a touchdown, then obviously the game's different. So we like our coaches to be aggressive until they mess up. Then they're like, hey, bro, maybe take the points next time. Especially in that situation. I don't know. It's just – it was a better coaching effort by the coaching staff, but something that is going to be back on the table this week, because I do think it was easy to get up for BYU after being embarrassed by Georgia State, right? I do think it was easy to come out and say, hey, this is not who we're going to be. Hey, we're going to dominate this BYU team, save our season, get back on track. Hey, we're not going to lollygag. Hey, we're going to be ready to go. We've been embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. It's another thing to be able to get off the mat again after being embarrassed and then being heartbroken when you have an FCS opponent like Chattanooga. It's not like you're in primetime on ESPN in front of the country and in front of 92,000 loud fans.
Right.
You're going to be in front of 60 or 65,000 fans who are there just to see points scored, and hopefully Tennessee cruise to a win. So if Tennessee even comes out and struggles, or if Tennessee has, like I said, facing the problem of motivation. Like the coaches are going to have to make sure the team comes out motivated, and they didn't for Georgia State. It was easy against BYU. Can you get these guys up against UTC, a team that they should easily beat, at noon in front of a lifeless crowd?
Yeah, I don't know. even if people are going to be that excited if we do beat Chattanooga.
Oh, no, they won't be. But the people that are coming are like, hey, finally, we'll get to see we'll get to see Tennessee play some good football.
Right.
No one's going to be coming out of that game. Even if Tennessee wins 80-0, no one's going to be coming out of that game excited. It'll just be like about time or nice Saturday with my kids or my friends. Like, you know, it's going to be one of those things. But it's one of those games, Jules, where it's very, 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 very low reward.
Very low reward.
High risk. Like, I don't think Tennessee's going to lose this game. I don't think that's realistic. But I do think you have the chance to, you know, be sluggish and win the game, but ultimately lose. And what I mean by that is you win on the final scoreboard, but you got more players who look disinterested. You have more players who look like they don't care. You have more struggles from your quarterback. You aren't being able to block UTC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the offensive line was better against BYU, but like I said, it was easy to come out motivated against BYU. This is a game that you should be able to physically dominate, but we already saw what happened once this year when Tennessee was in that position. If Jerry Pruitt comes out and the team doesn't look motivated and doesn't look good, like I said, maybe the team ultimately wins, but the team and the coaches actually come out as losers in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we did lose. I guess everybody would be
out.
But would everybody be out at that point?
Yeah, no, if with all seriousness.
I mean, what's it going to take?
No, I mean, if you lose the UTC, Jerry Pruitt will be fired.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know either. Like, you're not going to fire – ah, God. That's something
it's
that –
It's like, what's it going to take for change to be made?
That's something that should be a slam dunk yes. Like, yes, if you lose to Georgia State and UTC in your first three games of the season, you'll be fired. But, hell, who knows?
Who knows?
I don't want to think about that. Even, like, as someone like me who loves chaos, right? Love chaos. Thrive in it.
We didn't want to think about it for Georgia State.
I know.
I didn't want to think about it the whole day. People were coming up to me saying, oh, I'm kind of nervous. Like, we don't know what this team looks like. What if they come out and stink?
Oh,
there's no way. I'm not thinking that this Saturday. I will not be surprised. Anything at this point, I will not be surprised.
Poor Davey and Billy will be stuck on voluntary action until midnight from a noon game if Tennessee loses.
That will be miserable.
To UTC. Great segment by you, Cody. All right, hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. Back on the program, got another segment to knock out before we play some this or that. NFL tonight, but Cody says he has a little bit of breaking news. Please notice, Jules, that he said he was going to bring the horn in here, and it is not in here again.
There it is. Cody was a little late this morning.
He was on time.
He was right on time this morning.
Yeah, he was right on time, but didn't have time to stop by and get his horn because he was rushing.
All right, here's the deal. This is not breaking. I don't know. Well, it's 20 minutes old. I missed it for headlines, though. I should have just put it in headlines.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the tip time has been announced for the Tennessee-Kansas game in Allen Fieldhouse, January 25th.
That is the 25th.
Yep, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Game will be, I'm assuming, on ESPN. It says ESPN or ESPN2.
Am I tripping or is – no. Do we have a big game around that weekend last year? Would that have been the West Virginia game, I guess, probably? Yeah, because it would have been the Big 12 Challenge, right?
I watched the West Virginia game in Nashville.
I was just trying to think of like.
So was that New Year's?
Yeah, that was around, on, I don't know. The playoffs were going on, I'm pretty sure, the NFL playoffs. I was trying to think. We played Memphis like in the middle of December, right? Because, I mean, those were playoff. That was on a Sunday. We played Gonzaga around that time, too. I just remember being at Hops watching NFL football that mattered. Like the Ravens and Chiefs were like in week 16 or something like that. The Titans were fighting for playoff position. Either way, so 4 o'clock on the 25th.
4 o'clock Eastern time on the 25th of January.
I want to say that is the weekend where there is no NFL football. That is like the Pro Bowl weekend. I want to say. And then the next weekend they'll do the Super Bowl, but maybe is that actually going to be the conference championship weekend? Wait, what date's the Super Bowl on this year?
Because it should be the first Sunday of February.
Well, I know, but the first Sunday in February would be February 1st, so sometimes that might be... What Super Bowl are we on? 54?
54.
Super Bowl 54 date is February 2nd. Okay, so yeah, that'll be the weekend with no NFL football. So that's a good time for Tennessee to be on against Kansas. Just right there where people are looking for sports. 4 o'clock won't be going head-to-head with the NFL playoffs, so... A lot of eyes will be on that game.
That is when we played West Virginia last year, January 26th.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the Big 10, Big 12 SEC challenge is usually that weekend.
Yep, that's it. So that's when we'll play Kansas. Should have all eyes on us at that point. We didn't really even talk about the schedule getting officially released.
Yeah, we didn't.
I mean, we pretty much knew what we were looking at anyway, but it is officially released. Eastern New Mexico, October 30th, the night before Halloween. That's when we open up. Any thoughts on the Eastern New Mexico game?
No thoughts on that one. We better win it. That would be my only thought on it. Be nice to win.
Yeah, you could match the football team if you lost that one. So we got Eastern New Mexico, then UNC Asheville, then Murray State. Takes us a while to get warmed up. First big game is Washington, November 16th.
Okay.
The James Naismith Classic in Toronto.
Yeah, I've gotten myself excited for basketball season.
I have too. I think it's more of a product of football not being good.
That plus, I mean, the 2020 class is going to be so good that I was just like, you know what? Let's just try to get to the tournament.
Let's ride through this one and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. It'll be fun to be the scrappy underdogs again. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. Looking at the Panthers and Bucks, because I do feel like we have two quarterbacks that aren't in drastically different situations, which is funny because you see Jameis Winston and former league MVP Cam Newton, and you probably think that's crazy, but I wouldn't be shocked if neither one of these guys were the quarterback of their team in like 2 years. I kind of feel like Cam's on his last legs. What I saw in week one didn't really change my mind. He just didn't throw the ball down the field. They just dumped it down to Christian McCaffrey, which maybe that's a good enough offense. Maybe tonight it'll be more of the same, like, hey, we'll just let Jameis Winston throw us the ball and throw us some interceptions. He obviously needs to prove something. He's in the same boat as Marcus Mariota. Fifth-year option. Got picked up. No contract extension. The team wants to see what he's made of. The team wants to see what he's got. He was really bad in week one. We didn't talk about it much, but the Bucks lost to the 49ers, and Jameis Winston threw two pick sixes. They lost by 14 points. They lost by his two pick sixes. He cost his team the game. The offense didn't look good. Mike Evans was sick, but the offense did not look good. The offense needs to look good tonight. Although, Cody, if you're looking for some action on the game, my bookie, promo code Knoxville, this is a trend that should be followed. If you're looking for betting, the Panthers right now are 7-point favorites. Here's a stat for you. You ready for it?
Yeah, stat me up.
Take it if you want it. Leave it if you have to. Whatever.
If you stat me up, I'll never stop.
We get these Thursday night games all the time, right?
Yeah, every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
One per
during
week.
During NFL season.
Yes, one per week from about September.
Week 2 to like week 15 or something like that.
Through November, December.
Week 16 even maybe. Yep. Okay, so home favorites, as the Panthers are tonight. They're home favorite. They are favored and they are at home. Last 14 games on Thursday Night Football, 11-1 with two ties against the spread. Not straight up, against the spread. The average margin of victory is like 15, 16, 17 points, something like that.
Well, yeah, the Panthers are going to win tonight. Well,
they're 7-point favorites. That's not straight up, that's the spread. They're going to cover is what the numbers say.
Oh, not only will they win, they'll cover.
Yeah, that's what the crazy part about that stat is. It's supposed to be closer to 50-50. It's 11-1-2 in its last 14 games. And if you want to extend it to the last 27 games, home favorites on Thursday Night Football are 25-2.
Oh.
So it's a pretty good trend. 11-1 is a really hot streak. 20-5 is still pretty good, too.
Plus, Jameis sucks.
Jameis isn't very good.
He's got a better coach now.
I'm not telling you to take the Panthers. I'm not going to give you any picks on this game. If I had to give you a pick, I would say I don't think this game goes over 49.5. I think this will be a low, ugly, sloppy game. One team might come out and win like 31-10 or something like that, but that still goes under the 50. That would be my pick if I had to give you a play. But the numbers tell you to take the home favorite, 11-1 in their last 14 games with two ties.
So that's what you're telling us to do?
I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just telling you what the numbers say.
You're doing that thing again where you... It's like you're telling us to do it, but you're not saying you should do this.
We're in a weird position now. Like, well, A, like I don't feel very strongly about it, but like the numbers say it. Like, I don't think the Panthers are great this year.
They need a win, though.
So do the Bucks. Like, I'm just as worried. I mean, I opened the segment up saying I'm just as worried about Cam Newton as I am Jameis Winston. Like, his shoulder's not right. He's not running anymore.
And he didn't throw a pass over, what was it, 20?
Yeah, like 17 yards,
17 yards last week.
So, I mean, like, I don't feel great about them. I feel like the defenses are going to have their way this game. If I had to pick something, I would say take the under. But then people get mad and accuse us of giving them the wrong picks on purpose. If I tell them to go bet on my bookie, like, hey, you just want us to lose, so we'll keep making your sponsors look good. That's not what I want. I want everybody to win money. But I don't want to give them a reason to be mad at me if they don't. We'll be talking about Jameis Winston one way or the other tomorrow, I would say. Or Cam Newton. Maybe both of them.
They might just both play poorly, and this might be an awful Thursday night game.
Well, they might. And that's why I would say take the under. Because I think it's very possible the quarterbacks play poorly tonight.
Yeah, good pick.
We'll see. All right, Jules, you got your this or that topics ready to go?
I got them ready.
Hit me with them.
All right, today we've got big weddings or small weddings.
Big weddings or small weddings. Cody McCoy is going to say, no weddings.
SEC East or SEC West in terms of game day experience.
Okay. That's pretty good.
How about that?
And then public or private school.
Public or private school, okay. Good batch of this or that. We'll play that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
This.
Come on. All right, it's time for our very friendly and very fun debate segment, This or That. Are you guys ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Yep. First up, we've got big weddings or small weddings.
I think small weddings are better for a couple of reasons. For one, it's going to be less stress on everyone involved. If there's not as many people to worry about, you don't have to worry about sending out so many invitations. I mean, the day's just going to go more smoothly. The planning process will be more smoothly for the people getting married. You don't have to deal with as many people when it comes to catering, you know, the dining, the entertainment, the venue, all that is smaller. So that just adds up to, like, it's a calmer, more enjoyable experience in the planning process, less stress, and as a result, also, that's going to be less money that you spend. That's probably the biggest reason a small wedding is advantageous. You're going to save money. I mean, if you're working with a smaller budget, you're not going to – I mean, it speaks for itself, you know.
I would say that you will spend less money most likely, but you'll also get less gifts. Less people there to give you gifts. That's kind of important. And I won't even say it's less stressful because if you have less people, there are everything's maximized. Everything's magnified, right? Like more people are there – or less people are there, excuse me, but they're less distractions. Everything needs to be perfect for those people because, you know, if you have 300 people there and one person sat incorrectly, that's only like what, 0.01% or 0.3%, something like that. If you have 30 people there and one person's misset, that's 10% of your whole wedding is messed up. So I will say there is more pressure. The big weddings are more fun, though. Like, the reception's more fun. You get there, there's more people. There's more dancing. There's more chances to mingle. If you are the bride and groom, you have to spend less time awkwardly talking to a small amount of people because you can always say, hey, I got to go talk to these people. Hey, this person's dragging me away. Got to go say hi to Aunt Brenda. Oh, wait, there's Jeff from high school. You always have an easy way to get out because there's so many people that can be pulling you in every other direction. And your guests will have more fun because they'll have more people to hang out with. If you have big weddings, potential that you got more friends there. Not just a family, not just a small intimate thing.
They're not real friends. I would argue that you want... I would argue that you want a more friends. You want a more intimate experience on your special day.
I don't think so.
A smaller wedding allows you to share and cherish your special moment with the people that you love and care about the most that are closest to you. When it's a big wedding, you got people that you haven't even seen in years. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that's a good thing. And they bring you gifts. A small wedding puts more pressure on everybody. Imagine if I'm only inviting 30 people to my wedding. Hey, you want to come to my super small wedding? You get a guest pass. You are invited. And then you tell me no. I'm going to take that pretty personally. Or you RSVP and then you don't show up. That's going to be pretty noticeable. If I send out 300 invitations, chances are I'm not even going to notice you're not there. I think that's less pressure on everybody.
Nah, it's not as
special.
Come
on and shout. Now,
also,
imagine how much more fun the shout will be with 300 people versus 30.
Yeah, but you don't even know. You're not going to know half those people. And I think that your wedding should be special to you and those you care the most about. You're not going to know half of those people because half of those people are going to be like distant friends of the spouse that you're marrying or distant family, maybe even your own distant family, people
gifts,
you don't
man.
Even want to see.
Gifts.
Also, with a small wedding, you know what it could be, Jules, is a chance to get away. Like if you want to do a wedding away from...
We're
just
not
home
talking,
away.
No,
like
no.
It's easier to transport. No, it's not gerrymandering. It's
gerrymandering.
Easier to transport.
Now you're talking about destination weddings. Completely different.
It's part of a wedding. I'm saying it's easy.
You can do destination.
Stop yelling gerrymandering.
We'll stop gerrymandering.
It's
and I will.
Easier to transport a small group of people than it would be 300 people. Like
gerrymandering.
Let's say you got 10 friends and family, and everybody agrees to do the wedding in the Bahamas. Like, yeah, let's go to the Bahamas. Let's do the wedding. Not right now, but you know, when they get everything fixed up, let's go do the wedding in the Bahamas. Like, it's easier to transport people, so it opens you up to destination weddings.
You can still have a destination wedding with a larger number of people.
No, you can't. You're not going to have – you're going to get maybe a quarter of them show up because they're not your real friends.
A quarter of them still going to be bigger than your small wedding, probably.
They're not your real friends. That's why they won't show up.
I think that's true.
I'm giving the point to Cody. Next, SEC East.
No explanation why? Like, you just okay.
You made a really good point with big weddings. You feel obligated to have to invite a lot of people that you don't necessarily want to be there. And I think that was really strong.
There's a reason the wedding is big. You
it's more money
people.
Spent that you don't necessarily need to spend.
Move on.
You lost, pal.
SEC East or SEC West in terms of game day experience?
I'll go with the SEC East game day experience. I know West would probably be the popular pick here. Ole Miss, the Grove, that's so fun. No, it's not. You're going down to a racist hellhole. LSU, the Bayou. Oh, yeah, that's fun until you smell like corn dogs. Alabama game day experience... Take that into account when you're thinking of SEC West game day experiences. Alabama just running rugshod through the SEC West. With the SEC East, you get Georgia, great bar scene. You get Knoxville, great tailgating and great game day traditions. You get to see Neyland Stadium, which is the nicest stadium in the entire SEC.
No, it's not. No.
Well, not the nicest, but the most historic. Or it's the combination of nicest and historic. Biggest.
It's my favorite, but it's not the nicest.
Either way, Texas A&M kind of messed things up when they renovated and got bigger and nicer.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah, they did.
Either way, Georgia's a great town. Florida, it's a fun experience. I actually like Florida's game scene. Nashville,
love getting your.
If you want to go to Vanderbilt, you can go to Nashville. Who's turned down a trip to Nashville?
That's not. You can't include that as
that's
part
a game
of
day experience.
That's not the game
you go
day
to
experience.
Nashville.
That's just if you're going to call me out for a destination wedding, you're talking about Nashville. That's not a college city.
If you're tailgating, you're tailgating where? In Nashville.
But you got to stay in the West End on campus.
That's a great
Vanderbilt.
Little spot.
On Vanderbilt's campus.
Just be careful
campus.
If you go to the Tin Roof if you are a woman late at night. That place is dangerous, I've heard.
So that's where you want to take your friends and family?
I'm not focused on that part of it. I'm focused on the tailgating prior to the game.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. What a great experience.
Nashville's a fun town.
Yeah.
Love Nashville. Are you going to make an argument or are you just going to sit here?
You call the Grove a racist hellhole, but the Grove has always been one of
the... A racist hellhole. You're right. It has
you just call it that as if places like Athens, Georgia, and Knoxville and
Athens,
Lexington,
Georgia,
Kentucky don't have racists too.
Are you going to compare Athens, Georgia to Oxford, Mississippi? Where their mascot is called the Rebels?
Now, that's something back from their past. They've changed it to the Black Bears. They've changed it. So they got rid of Colonel Reb.
Are they called the Ole Miss Black
Bears? They're still called the Rebels, yes.
Do they fly their Rebel flags down the Grove?
They got rid of Colonel Reb. They don't fly as many as they used to.
But they're still there.
You can't argue that there aren't racists.
You can't argue that.
There aren't racists in Lexington, Knoxville. There are racists everywhere.
They are not the Kentucky Rebels. They are not the Tennessee Rebels.
Ole Miss people are just... They,
racist.
I guess, are a little more proud of their heritage. I don't know. But the game day party in the Grove is great. You're never going to see more tables set up, more food, more people, more
tables.
Alcohol. I mean, there's going to be more options. It's just a huge field full of just game day experience. And
into their 60,000-seat stadium and watch great Ole Miss football. Yeah, fun.
And LSU is really the standard when it comes to the game day experience. Everybody who's ever been to a game there has enjoyed the atmosphere there. That's probably the top atmosphere in the SEC. Everybody wants to tailgate for a night game in Death Valley. The LSU tailgating is so unique, too. You get to try different kinds of food, different gumbos, the crawfish etouffee, all the different kinds of stuff, the food you can eat at LSU, and you wash that down, you're drinking some beer, whatever you do there, and then you go get rowdy for a night game in Death Valley. People say that's the best game day experience in the SEC.
Jules, you know what is not in the SEC East?
What's that?
A cult. Texas A&M is a cult. They do weird things at Texas A&M. They may or may not eat each other's bodily fluids. I don't want that a part of my game day experience at all.
A&M's a little weird.
I don't want to be out there hanging out on a Friday night getting ready for the game. I take that as a part of the game day experience. I don't know if you do. I could take a weekend trip. You got to take the Friday into account a little bit, I think. I don't want to have to quit what I'm doing at the bar and go practice yelling at the stadium, yell practice. Like, the SEC East doesn't have that, and I think that's very important.
You know what else the SEC East doesn't have? They don't have that sweet...
Alabama kicking everybody's ass.
They don't have that sweet lemonade on Toomer's Corner in Auburn. Because that's one of the best experiences you can have in terms of lemonade. It's a great spot.
What?
It's an SEC tradition.
I've never heard of the lemonade on Toomer's Corner. Have you?
Yeah, because you've never been.
Jules, have
no.
you?
You've never been. I've been to Auburn. Delicious.
Did you try some of the lemonade?
I didn't.
Sounds
you
like should've. It's overrated.
You should.
Sounds like it's an overrated tradition.
It's delicious.
All right, I'm going with Point John on that. Last one, public or private school?
Public schools, number one, my point here is going to be diversity. I think diversity is very important. It's important to meet people who are different than you, who grow up differently. They have different backgrounds, you know.
Are we talking college or high school, by the way?
We're talking.
High school.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
It's good to have diversity, to meet people who are different than you. You get different experiences talking about how you grow up. If you go to a private school, everybody at a private school has the same life. They all live on the same street. They're all on Main Street. They've all got their same houses in the same subdivision. They go to the same school, same church, same everything. And you only grow up knowing those people. You don't get much of a background of different people.
What?
Yeah, diversity.
Everyone that went to my public high school lived in the same area. We all went to the same churches and high schools and everything like that.
Yeah, but the
same restaurants. You live in the same area if you go to a public school. If you go to a private school, especially if you know somewhere like Baylor or Macaulay, those people come in from all different parts of the state and all different states. Like, that's where you get diversity.
No,
that's where you
that's
get
not true. Well,
a
you,
difference of people.
I'm talking about different life experiences. I'm talking about not all the rich white kids.
That's what private schools are. It's a bunch of rich white kids.
You know damn
schools.
Well.
There are people from private schools who are there on scholarship that have different experiences.
You know what I'm talking about.
I've met a lot of people from public schools. I've met a lot of people in private schools. I enjoyed my public school experience. On average, the people I've met from private schools are all much smarter than the average person from my public school. They're all much more successful in life. Now, sure, some of them will develop cocaine habits, and some of them will go spend all their parents' money, and that is there. That is true. But for the most part, they just seemed like they were better set for life in terms of like going to school, getting an education, getting a good job. Feels like it trains you a little better. Now, I like my public school experience. I'm not going to talk down on it. I loved it. Like Cody said, you do learn some different things. Maybe you come out with a little bit more street smarts. But the kids that go to private schools usually are more equipped for college and the next level. in my opinion.
Public schools increase educational choice, whereas in private school, it's more narrowed down to a few different things you can do. Public schools, you got foreign languages, VOTECs, arts and humanities.
They have foreign languages.
You've got all different kind of stuff, independent and studies, advanced placement, college credit courses.
They have that stuff.
You've got different stuff. It's more narrowed down in the private schools. It's way more narrowed down. In public schools, you have a variety of educational choice that is stronger than it is in the private schools.
If you go to a private school, that makes you come stay the night, that gets you ready for college life, you know what I mean? You get in there, you're used to being away from home, you get a little bit more freedom, that type of stuff. I would prefer private schools.
Public schools attract the best teachers as well.
Excuse me?
Yep. You wouldn't think so, but they do. Because those people, the teachers that go into the profession,
they've dedicated their lives to young
people. They have dedicated their lives to young people.
This sounds like it's very biased towards public schools.
I am not reading anything.
It feels like a public school teacher wrote this. You keep going down and reading something.
Often the teachers, I don't know if you knew this.
Whoever wrote that one, the best teachers are going to go.
No, I'm not reading anything.
Are going to go work in underfunded public schools.
Because they get better benefits at public schools. Oftentimes, teachers who teach in private schools don't even have to have four-year degrees. They're not required to have four-year degrees. A lot of times, they're not as educated as the teachers in public schools. It's true. Look it up. It's true.
That doesn't
just
feel
because
true.
I present a fact to you that's true, Jules. You can look it up if you want. It's
Please
true.
Please give us the website.
The best public teacher.
Read the website.
I mean, I looked it up before we started doing the segment.
Read the website where we can look it up.
I looked
it up
before we started doing the segment.
I would like to look it up. Give me the website.
I mean, I'm just looking at baseball scores, bro. I'm looking at the Dodgers schedule.
What's that one on the right?
That's the top 10 reasons that McDonald's fries are the best fries that there are.
I'm not even going to challenge you on
that.
It's
the name of the
article. I feel like you've probably are Googling that randomly at 2:40 in the show.
Yeah, if you think I'm just reading off some website to try to win this argument,
you're
crazy.
If you're telling me that public school teachers are better than private school teachers, I'm just going to have to disagree there. It doesn't make sense.
They get better benefits, so they're often attracted to the public schools.
They get better benefits to try to get people to come teach in public schools.
Another thing is with public schools, you know that they're more reliable. Private schools, you never really know if it's going to be there tomorrow. These charter schools, they shut down at any moment without a moment's notice.
There are some bad private schools. That is true.
It happens. And plus, you're paying this money to go to these private schools. When public school, you can get a good public school education just like everybody else, and it's funded by the government. It's part of the reason you pay taxes. As opposed to spending, I mean, have you seen the tuition at some of these places? Just so that you can be, just so you can have a little esteem in the neighborhood. That's what it's all about.
It's more about.
It's all these rich people that have these kids.
I would say there's a reason they're charging you money to go.
Yeah, because it's a status thing. It's an ego thing. That's all it is. That's all the private
school
is. Sets you
up better for your future.
It's an ego thing. And then you all get in the same frat or sorority together and you do that.
Which is kind of
and then you go marry someone who looks just like you and it's a cookie cutter thing. You get a house in the subdivision and the cycle continues. It continues on and on and on through generations. Have a little individualism. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where public school is beneficial. It creates individuals.
What are all those guys from your public high school doing?
It creates individuals.
Back at home.
That's where the creative people come from. Is the public schools?
What you got a lot of creative people back in Batesville, Arkansas? At your public school?
I went to a small rural school. Yeah, I mean, there's successful people. I mean, I want specific examples?
I've heard you talk about a lot of them before. I've yet to hear you talk about the big successful artists or musicians or anything coming out of there.
The NASCAR driver Mark Martin's from my hometown.
Okay. Guess you got me there.
I mean, I could give other examples.
Okay.
Charlie Strong's from there. He's a success. Well, he's at one point he was a successful football coach.
Cody wins today's this or that.
Whatever website he found was
thanks, Jules.
Heavily biased towards public school
There's
teachers.
No website.
Last call on the other side. Last call on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Hit me up on Twitter if you need instructions on where to find it. I've always enjoyed trying to help lead people to Volunteer Vodka. All right, last call. Time to pump the brakes and keep rolling. Cody Mack, you going to go first or second?
Second.
Okay, I was going to make you go first, but since you won this or that, maybe I can do it for you. Let's see. Do I actually have any stories?
No. I can go first if I need to.
Yeah, just go first.
All right. I've got an update on something to do with college football tickets that is the opposite of what you would think in today's ticket.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yes! Yes!
Most schools are having trouble selling tickets and trying to get students to come to games. There's a big demand right now at Maryland. The AD, Damon Evans, announced there were 14,500 student requests for the Penn State game. That's the largest in program history. There are about 10,000 seats for students, and a lottery will be held and temporary bleachers for 1,000 more will be put in for the game. So I don't know if it's an indicative with the regular fans too, but student demand at Maryland, really, really high. Over 4,500 more than there is room for.
What the hell is happening at Maryland?
Well, they're good. Apparently pretty decent.
They're legit.
Well, I mean, like, they beat down Howard, and you're just like, okay, I mean, it's an HBCU. That led to Jemele Hill writing about how all the good black athletes need to stay in HBCUs, and we're just like, okay, we'll see what they do against Syracuse, and then they beat the hell out of Syracuse. They beat them down not much different than they beat Howard down.
I could definitely still see this being one of those things where we're just really overreacting.
To 2 weeks.
And then Penn State comes in and just kind of handles them.
Well, either way, man, if you are Maryland, like, I mean, even if you are just a 6-win team, 7-win team, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I didn't think the Mike Loxley hire was good. I mean, I didn't really have any feelings on it. I was like, it's just another Alabama assistant type of thing.
I mean, that's a ridiculous win against Syracuse.
I mean, putting up 63 points in game number two is a pretty big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless, like, that's against a ranked team. Like, regardless of whether or not it's real, that's still impressive in game two.
Well, they play Penn State next week, so see how that goes.
KFC doing something strange. They are trying to get into an esports tournament and a dating simulation game. KFC is trying to get involved in the gaming industry.
When have you ever eaten KFC and not had a very difficult time playing video games?
I know. His fingers are so greasy, you can't handle a remote controller or a mouse pad or anything like that.
That's a weird combination.
Yeah.
Just taking a bite out of a drumstick and then trying to slide off the X button. You can't do anything.
Last year, they launched a Twitter account called KFC Gaming. Recently, it ran a World Cup of Games on Twitter asking its followers to vote for their favorite game. The winner was Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. KFC Gaming wrote, "The turnout for the community was huge. Guess we'll have to put together a reward for the R6 Siege family." Well, then they tweeted, "Stay tuned, September 23rd. Guess they're going to do a big tournament or something? I don't know. And this dating thing, it's weird. It's got Colonel Sanders dressed up as a woman. I don't know what's going on. Stay tuned for the drop.